Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome, everybody, welcome. If you're new here, it's your first time tuning in and listening to this broadcast, I'd like to welcome you and let you know that God loves you and we love you. And if you're a returning listener, I want to let you know that we appreciate you and we love you. And we pray and hope that you have been receiving such a blessing that God has been to us. So just as promised, this week we're going to go over a real, real special topic today. And at the end here, we're going to deal with some of these spirits and bring about some healing and some deliverance. Amen. So we're going to talk about, you know, in this segment, which I'm going to call the stranger's voice. Okay, the stranger's voice. I know a lot of you heard about the story of Elijah, Jezebel, Ahab, and the 400 prophets. You see, the thing that stick out to me in that story for this particular segment concerning Jezebel, you see, we hear a lot of teachings on Jezebel and it being a spirit of Jezebel, you see. And the thing is that I see and read in the scriptures is that Jezebel is a person. So there is no way there can be a spirit of Jezebel. Now, Jezebel was a prophetess, not a spirit. Jezebel was a person, a human being in the flesh, not a spirit. Now, the spirit that Jezebel did operate under, we're going to go ahead a little bit into that later on in the segment. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the main issue with Jezebel, okay? And we're going to talk about, you know, Ahab, right, and him receiving a lying spirit as well, right, and how he opened himself up to this lying spirit and where that lying spirit came from, amen, and how it is we need to be delivered if this is a struggle in our lives with similar situations, amen. And we're going to talk a little bit about the 400 prophets, okay? And these 400 prophets were not prophets of God, amen, but they were prophets of a foreign God, hallelujah, which was the stranger's voice, okay? This was not the God, the same God that led the children of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, amen. These aren't prophets of the same God, hallelujah, that led the children of Israel into Jericho to take the city of Jericho and then to go on a quest to take the promised land. Amen. So let's go ahead and get started on this thing once we open up in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, God, so much for all it is that you do for us and all it is that you are to us, God. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray and I invite you into this episode. God, I pray and I invite you into this session. I pray and I invite you in your presence into this room, into this studio, Father God. And I pray and I invite you. And as the listener is praying with me and agreeing with me, I pray, God, that you enter into that room as well, Father God. Feel this place with your glory, Father God. You are omnipresent, Father God, everywhere at the same time, Father God. Fill the atmosphere with your glory. Fill the atmosphere with your presence, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We shall not move in any direction without your presence, Father God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Dispatch your angels, Father God, on assignments, Lord, to carry out your edicts, Father God, to prepare the way, hallelujah, for your will, your divine will to be done. God, I pray, hallelujah, for divine intervention. I pray, God, for divine revelation. I pray for divine understanding, Father God, that we understand what it is that you're trying to tell us. And Father God, not only that we understand it, Lord God, but we are able to receive it and able to walk it out and live it, Lord God, and let it mature in us and bear good fruit in our lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we pray, Lord God, for the anointing that breaks every yoke, because it is the anointing, hallelujah, that comes from you that breaks every yoke, Father God, and you know, set the captives free, Father. Come, Lord, and it is you and you alone who is the deliverer, Lord God. Jesus, it is you who delivers. You are the great deliverer. We invite you into this broadcast to deliver those that need deliverance. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. So we just went over a little bit about, you know, some different people in this story. We're talking about Jezebel and 400 prophets and Ahab, right? You see, and a lot of times, you know, when we hear this story, we hear it from the story of Elijah, because technically the whole story is about Elijah, that prophet, and what God did through his ministry, amen. But when we look into Jezebel, we seem to create a lot of these constructs and doctrines, right? That's not really in the scriptures. Like, for one, Jezebel the spirit. Now, I'm not here to sit here and, you know, come against anybody or anyone for that doctrine, because, you know, there is a lot concerning Jezebel that do affect God's people today. But we're going to go into what that actually is. Amen. So I like to ask, dear listener, what do they all have in common? You see, who empowered or influenced this group of people? Was it a god? Was it a demon? What was his name? I know we hear about Baal as the god that they served and worshiped, right? And had the children of Israel turn away from God into rebellion, because he tells us very clearly that you should not worship any other god, right? Thou shalt not serve no other god but me. That is the number one commandment out of all the commandments that was given to the children of Israel. Amen. And that also is the de facto number one concerning us, the children, hallelujah, through Christ Jesus. Amen. That is the number one. Like, even Jesus himself said, you know, when somebody tried to trip him up and ask him what is the greatest commandment of them all, he said, it is to, you know, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul. And the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the thing is, you hear a lot of people always say, put God first, you know, and there's a whole lot of meaning in that, because that is the true way to life, right? That is the way, the life, and the truth. God, number one. Nothing, no one else, not anything before God. Amen. So we're constantly talking about all these spirits, like, you know, Jezebel, and you know, don't really deal with the source of this Jezebel, or the source of the power of Jezebel. You see, another issue that, you know, I like to kind of touch on a little bit is, you know, the stranger's voice. You know, this whole segment is about the voice of a stranger. You see, we are God's people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Amen. You see, when Jesus said, if anybody believes on me, right, the works that I do, he will do, and even greater works than these, because I go to the Father, right? And he's going to the Father to prepare a place for us, right? In the Father's house, there is many rooms. If it wasn't so, he wouldn't have even said it. Amen. He prepared a place for us in the kingdom of God. Amen. And because we are his people, right? He also tells us not, you know, he says that my sheep know my voice, and when they hear me, they follow me, and they shall not listen to the stranger's voice or the voice of another. You see, there's not a voice that's going to sit here and get in between us and God, and us keeping his commandments, us and God, and us following and obeying his word, us and God, right? And us following, you know, and keeping our commitments that we place before God, right? That we make with God, because we know God is a commitment keeper. God upholds the covenant. So much that when we turn away from the covenant, he's still upholding it. Like, I've just been waiting for you all this time to come back. Let's get back to it. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, when you see the thing with Jezebel is that she can be in the category of a strange woman. And why do I say strange? See, the key word, you know, that we're looking for in strange is stranger. See, Jezebel was a stranger. Jezebel was not of the lineage of Israel. Jezebel was not an Israelite in any way. She didn't come from any of the tribes of Israel. That was the de facto number one problem with this marriage between Jezebel and Ahab. You see, how are you? Is it that you are a stranger and you've come in to become a queen of the whole house of Israel? You have not been ordained, and you have not been sent by the Lord God himself. The God was truly strict when it came to that in the Old Testament concerning marriage, marrying outside of the kingdom of God, marrying outside of the land of Israel. You know, if you were not an Israelite, you would not be marrying an Israelite. That was pretty much what it was. So that right there is the de facto number one problem. Okay? And that problem in of itself, can't really call that the first step of disobedience and rebellion, because usually our disobedience and rebellions comes way before there is an actual major event, so to speak. You know, you remember hearing Jesus talk about how, you know, when he's talking about, you've heard that it was said, you know, not to murder. But I say, you know, if you hate your brother, you know, you've already committed murder to him in your own heart. That's why when you go into the court of law and there's a murder trial, they're always trying to look for something like intent and all those different things before they try to go ahead and give a verdict of guilty, because they have to see the intent there. They have to see if there was true hatred and true motive in the person's heart to really go ahead and murder this person. You see what I'm saying? And I use that as an example. And he also said that you've heard not to commit adultery. And he says, but I say, if you look at any woman lustfully, you've already committed that adultery in your own heart, because that's where it starts. Amen. See, so his rebellion and his disobedience started way before that, because at the end of the day, if he was a true man of God, a true one serving God, right, and wanting God's vision for the kingdom as the king of Israel, Ahab, we're talking about here, you see, he wouldn't have married the stranger. He wouldn't have listened to the voice of the stranger. Amen. He would have been God's. So that right there is a problem. So we are not to listen to the voice of the stranger. If we're struggling with hearing the voice of God, we have to go back to what God said the last time, because obviously it's not done with that. If we are struggling with hearing the voice of God, we have to get into the Word of God, which is His scriptures. Amen. And I'm going to go through a few different things and the different ways to go ahead and filter and test these spirits in just a little bit here. But I'm going to go into a little bit more about how this source of power works. You know, the same with the 400 prophets. The 400 prophets were also those who were not prophets of God. They were in rebellion against God. They were for what was in season. They were for what was the flavor of the day. They were for what will get them a whole lot of gain and benefits in this life. So with the authority above them, you know, serving Baal, the false god, right? So they're like, okay, you know, I'll follow this right here because this is going to get me a prominent role into society. So they went on ahead and they bowed before Baal. You know, they gave their allegiance to the stranger's voice. You see, the powers of darkness put things in place to isolate you. You see, you would prefer almost isolation. It's not the kind of isolation that God does when He sets you apart and makes you fit for the Master's use. This is no consecration, but darkness, no social life, bad friendships. And it seems like no one likes you, always hating on you and always against you, always scheming and always talking bad about you. You see, I said it that way for a reason, because this right here is a major symptom of this spirit. This spirit tries to come in and sow discord and division, right? So this stranger's voice and these 400 prophets, you know, what they were trying to do is come in and divide and conquer the land, right? And that's what Baal was trying to do. So they divided and conquered. They divided those who worship Baal from the ones who serve the Almighty, true, living God, right? So, and they isolated the ones who kept with their commitment and kept the covenant of God, right? The covenant keepers. They isolated those, right? And you hear in the story of Elijah, you see how he was isolated as well, separated, persecuted in many different ways, right? To the point where he, you know, took off running. You know, the Bible talks about him outrunning chariots and horses and things like that. Some supernatural things going on. We got Flash in the building, right? Go ahead and marvel that. So he's in a cave, you know, just, you know, talking before God and all that type of stuff. But the key thing about this is this, that he was isolated, okay? And he preferred that isolation. And he, you know, was the almighty vessel that God used, right, to bring about repentance before God. And he was the only one truly hearing God's voice. You see what I'm saying? So dealing with this spirit is pretty dangerous if you don't have the knowledge. You know, the Bible says, my people suffer for lack of knowledge. Do not suffer for lack of knowledge. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 See, the spirit, you know, it's always sowing seeds of discord. And it's like you just can't get along with everybody, right? There's always someone that, you know, just irking your nerves, right? And, you know, there's always drama with good people. See, the thing is this, I can understand toxic and drama with bad people, but there is always drama with good people. You see, Elijah, obviously a good person. The only difference is, and the thing that they didn't like about him is that he served the Almighty God. He didn't bow to Baal. You see, they wanted to do what they wanted to do, and they wanted to serve the false god Baal. And this caused a discord among the land of Israel and division with all those who, you know, served God and didn't serve Baal. So sometimes, you know, when you're, you know, in church or you're in some relationships that should be healthy, for some strange reason, you just can't really take that next step in your friendship and become a healthy, long-lasting friendship that goes the distance because of this spirit. You see, this spirit disrupts relationships. This spirit sows lies and it accuses, right? Causing separation, division, and confusion. You see, God is not the author of confusion. He tells us in the scriptures to test these spirits, right? And to abstain from evil. We know the spirits by its very nature and can spiritually discern these spirits. Now, how do we know the nature? And how do we discern it spiritually? First and foremost, the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is first of all, number one, numero uno, peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God, all right? So if this spirit is constantly telling you things, right, or giving you these feelings, right, that just does not give you peace, joy, and righteousness. Keyword righteousness. Don't forget that, because if you do just peace and joy, you can get a counterfeit. Amen. And we're not trying to get no counterfeit. So you go ahead and you filter it through peace, joy, and righteousness and the Holy Ghost. Is it righteousness that is the main goal? Is that the end game concerning what it is you're hearing? Is it the kingdom of God and its righteousness being promoted? Amen. So another way to be able to discern the very nature is that, okay, is this causing discord? Is this causing division? Is this is causing me to be able to cause a toxic relationship, you know? Is that what the end game is? Is the end game is to break up a good thing with a good person? Amen. Now, I can see if the person is completely evil, the person, you know, ain't really trying to live for God. You know, sometimes, you know, the Lord will come to you and just be like, you know what? It's time to, you know, distance yourself from this person, you know, because you are not being influenced well by this person. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about a major issue in the church today. And I'm talking about a major issue in the body of Christ. I'm talking about a major issue in the homes, even, of a lot of faith-filled believers who profess to follow Christ Jesus. Amen. And we have to discern this false god. We have to discern this spirit, and we have to bind up with the authority that God has given us in Christ Jesus, right? Bind, right? And decree our with authority, hallelujah, that it shall not no longer influence them. It shall no longer, you know, have a stronghold in their relationships, in their lives, right? And you cast that thing out. Amen. So a lot of times this, as I was saying, it was causing separation, right? And it's spiritually discerned. See, the number one trait is out of Jesus' own mouth. It says Satan, right, which is adversary, is the accuser of the brethren. Okay, so now when you constantly hear or think, because he places those thoughts in our minds, right? When you automatically think on something that, you know, causes doubt, disbelief, or when you start to think about something that causes division, or it's an accusation against someone that's causing you to try to feel like the victim, where you're feeling victimized, or where you start to want to create a problem that is not existing with the person. The person, it never came out that person's mouth. You never, with your own two eyes, seen this person behave in such a like manner concerning you, right? But that thing is coming to you and it's causing division, that accusation, right? As the Bible says, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses them day and night, right? Not just before God, but he accuses them with his people. So it is important that we discern the very nature of this spirit, right? So let us, you know, not listen to the voice of the stranger. Let us listen to the voice of God, because God is all about restoration, reconciliation, healing, deliverance, amen, and salvation. That's what God is about. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. That's in the book of Acts. We are not to forsake the assembly, you know, but yet we got a lot of splits in churches. We have a lot of, you know, good relationships that crash and burn because of this spirit that accuses the brethren. Now, you see, the ways that this you can receive this spirit. Now, I'm not that much of an expert on it. You know, I'm going to go ahead and allow God to continue to work on me concerning this revelation. Hallelujah. With more knowledge, and if I find more, that'd be cool, but I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that could teach on this subject a whole lot better than me, and there's a whole lot of information out there about this thing, amen, you know, and it says that it can be passed on through wounds received from leadership, you know, from the parents, from employers, churches, etc., right? So you find yourself in a situation with that unhealed wound or that unfulfilled expectation and that disappointment or betrayal. You know, you have this spirit that comes in. And throughout the course of life, you find yourself in situations to where you're trying to manipulate, right? That's where that Jezebel thing comes from. Trying to manipulate and control the process so you can get a certain guaranteed outcome. And with that, you have the voice of the stranger, okay, accusing, you know, and kind of guiding you along the way. And that's not according to the way of the Holy Spirit, right? So in all of this, what God wants us to do is continuously bring it back to him, okay? As the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, I believe, where it talks about he's given us the ministry, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling all things back to Christ Jesus, amen. So God is all about reconciliation. So he wants us to take whatever it is that we hear from him back to him, reconcile everything back to him. Amen. Because when you do that, right, you're going to always be in alignment with God, right? See, this is another little twist that I'm going to throw at you here. And another way you can be able to discern it. And sometimes it's hard. I get it. I understand it. It's hard when you're in the moment. But do remember this, is that when the accuser comes, when the liar comes, you know, and he's speaking, when that stranger's voice comes, this is how strange it is, okay? See, when God speaks, you have peace, amen. When God speaks, you have clarity, Amen. When God speaks, there is no confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Amen. But when the stranger speaks, there's confusion. When the stranger speaks, there's accusation. When the stranger speaks, there is no peace. There's nothing but torment. Amen. You're sitting there all throughout the day, sitting there thinking about this one thing that you was told, or whatever the thought that came in your mind, or this feeling that came upon you. You're just thinking about that one thing for heck of long. See, when God speaks, he doesn't do that. He doesn't sit there and hound you and hound you and hound you and torment you with what it is he's trying to say. Nah, he's trying, his whole reason for speaking is for reconciliation. He's either reconciling through you or he's reconciling in you. Amen. So that was a little bonus key for you. Praise the Lord. So he says it can also be received through rebellious attitudes towards God and his anointed. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about Ahab. You see, Ahab, the king of Israel, also the husband of Jezebel. Hold on a second. I'm going to go ahead and drink some. Drink a little bit of tea here. Hallelujah. Now, Ahab, he was a king in Israel and a rebellious king, rebelling against God. He did not follow the paths of God. He followed the path and the voice of the stranger. Ahab allowed his heart through Jezebel to be turned away from God and to bow down to Baal. Now, the whole kingdom of Israel was forced through decree to bow to Baal. Baal became the religion, right? The god of the religion of the land of Israel in that time. Now, the Bible talks a little bit about, not a whole lot concerning it, where, you know, God is, you know, conversating with his angels, and he's talking about the situation, and he's like, okay, well, you know, what are we going to do? Who will go for us, right? And, you know, there's an angel that took the initiative. He stood forward and said, you know, I will go. And he's like, what are you going to do? It's like, you know what? I will go in the form of a lying spirit to be able to encourage him to go out in war. And we know the story, what ends up happening. You know, he dies. So what ended up happening was that lying spirit, you know, ended up being in the voice of the prophets, and that lying spirit was, you know, influencing Ahab and all that type of stuff. These are people who are supposed to hear from God, and these are people who are supposed to be speaking on the behalf of God, right? So in this situation, they are speaking from a source of a lying spirit, an angel posing itself as a lying spirit, right? To be able to result in death. That's the reason why it's very important, okay, people of God. It's very important, especially when you have a prophetic mantle. It's very important to be completely consecrated and completely yielded, right, to the Spirit of the living God. Right? It's very important that we don't get out and just start talking and God ain't talking. You should never be talking if God ain't talking. Amen. You know, you should not be moving when God's not moving. Like even Jesus himself said, I'm always watching the Father, watching what it is that he's doing, so that way I may join him in his work or what it is he's doing. You see, if we're not watching, right, as the Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. So we should be looking for the kingdom of God. We should be looking for what God is doing. And we should be listening to what God is saying before we open up our mouths. Amen. Especially if you are into the prophetic office. Especially if you are a prophet, especially if you are one who speaks for God. Amen. So in the situation, you know, you have an angel posing as a lying spirit with planned results to kill Ahab. As the Bible says this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death. The wages of rebellion and disobedience against God is death. But in Christ Jesus, we have the gift of eternal life. Because if we truly love him, right, as Jesus said it, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. So when you are in this state and there's an angel dealing with you now, that is a very, very tough position to be in. That right there is beyond darkness. That right there is almost to the point of no return. And I'm saying almost because there is always room to repent as long as the Holy Spirit, you know, is in you, you know, and the Holy Spirit is working on you, right? There's always room. As long as you got air in your lungs, you know, there is a time and a place for repentance. But the thing is this, when there is an angel involved and when God is involved and it's not just darkness, right? It's not going to lift until God decides to lift it. So it's very important that we do not, you know, play with this thing. It is very important that we do not play with darkness. You know, we have to have our mind and our hearts truly made up that as for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. Amen. So let's go into this thing a little bit more. So it says it also can be received through an offense towards God. You know, you have the story in Matthew 11 where, you know, John the Baptist, you know, sent his servants to Jesus and was like, hey, are you the Christ, the one to come, or should I be expecting another? You see, and Jesus said, you know, blessed is the one who is not offended because of me, right? You know, you talking about, you know, that offense keeping one from being able to see truth, even when it's right in front of its eyes. That offense and that bitterness put scales over the eyes to where he cannot see God. You don't ever want to be in that position to where we can't see God, to where we can't feel God, to where we can't hear God, to where we can't fellowship with God. You see that offense. This is another way that can bring this lying spirit, you know, offense. So it is very important that we take these offenses, we take these disappointments to God. Because remember, we're reconciling all things back to Christ. God is a God of reconciliation. He wants to reconcile with his people. We take this offense and we take this disappointment. We take this unforgiveness and bitterness and we reconcile it to God, right? And we forgive those who have trespassed against us. That's the reason why Jesus taught us to pray in this way. You know, forgive our sins as we forgive those that sinned against us, right? Because he also said, you know, judge ye not or you shall be judged. It isn't very important that we forgive. We're supposed to forgive our brothers and sisters 7 times 77. He's basically just telling us that, hey, just keep letting it go. Just keep letting it go. Just keep letting it go. Because there is power in forgiveness. Now, the thing is, when we look at something like that, we think that it's all about the other person. And, oh, it's not fair. I got to hold on to this thing. This person did this to me. How can I sit here and forgive and just let it go and let this person off the hook? No, God is not dealing with that person. God is dealing with you. He's telling you to forgive because that is going to bring a root of bitterness. It's going to put scales over your eyes to where you cannot see God and you cannot receive nothing from God. And it's going to create, hallelujah, symptoms, right? That's going to be very cancerous in its very nature. And next thing you know, you catch cancer. That's God himself putting a plan to protect you in place. That's the plan. Forgive. As God forgave you, God forgave you. Forgive, let it go. Amen. So a lying spirit can apparently sound like God, right? Or an angel, as the Bible says, you know, Satan, you know, masks around as an angel of light. He masks himself. He puts on an angel of light. He tries to sound righteous and holy. You know, he doesn't always just come with some off the wall, all up in your face, straightforward evil and darkness. It's not always like that. You see, unless you're completely yielded to the Holy Spirit, it's hard to discern. Unless you're filled with the Spirit of God and bear his fruit, which is unconditional love, it is hard to concern. I mean, to discern. It is hard to discern. Right? When you have that unconditional love, right, where you're yielded, completely yielded to the Spirit, you will produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which number one is what? Love. So when you have that love and that concern for another human being, even more so than yourself, right? Because another one is selflessness. You know, you're going to go ahead and look at that person and see what it is that God sees. You know, not all this negative stuff. And even when it is this negative stuff, what you're going to do is you're going to take it to God in prayer, because God is the God of reconciliation. He wants given us that ministry of reconciliation, reconciling all things back to Christ. Amen. The result should not be to cause confusion, lack of peace, and division and accusation. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, it says, put through a trial or waiting period to confirm identification and its information, right? And 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, just go ahead and go look up those scriptures. I'm not going to go ahead and read it right now. I'm just using these as little talking points, but it tells us to test the spirits, right? Not to believe every spirit, you know? So basically telling us to put it through a trial or a waiting period to confirm the identification and its information. Reconcile it all back to God. Bring it back to God. Bring it back to God. Amen. So, because at the end of the day, no person talking by the Holy Spirit, it talks about, right, is going to sit here and say that Jesus did not come in the flesh, that Jesus did not get raised from the dead, and Jesus is not Lord, right? Ain't no person talking by the Holy Spirit going to talk like that, right? If it does not promote Jesus Christ, amen, as Lord and Savior, if it does not promote salvation through Jesus Christ, amen, it is not the Holy Ghost. There's another spirit, you know, I mean, not another spirit, another scripture I'm going to throw at you to go ahead and look up for yourself. It's discerning spirits, 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 4 through 11. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about a little bit about discernment. You know, discernment is the ability to judge well. An astonishing lack of discernment means you make bad judgments. Good at judging faults, but even those are bad judgments. You see, when it comes to discernment, right, first of all, first and foremost, when it comes to discerning others and discerning spirits, we have to have the love of God in us, to be able to discern, because the whole reason for discernment is, again, reconciling all things back to Christ, right? Reconciling all things back to God. Amen. So the whole point of discernment isn't to bring confusion, division, discord, and accusation, or slander or gossip. The main point of discernment, right, is either warning, so that way you can reconcile the situation back to God by either, okay, getting up off that path because you don't belong on that path. You're on the wrong path with the wrong person. And as you need to be able to be reconciled back to the right path, walking with Jesus. Amen. So, or it is you're discerning, right? You're seeing something in a person and God wants to use you, right, to be able to reconcile that person or that situation back to Christ, back to God. Amen. Because this is the ministry of reconciliation. You know, it's an astonishing means to make judgments. It's in a means to make judgments, right? Not to make bad judgments. Because at the end of the day, a lot of us, like I said before, we're very good at judging the faults of others, right? But we ourselves, that's making bad judgments. That's not discernment. That is more suspicion, and that is more slanderous. And those are usually the other spirit that we've been talking about, the voice of the stranger. It is not the Holy Spirit. So basically, in Christian context, even though I gave a lot of Christian context, but real Christian context, perception and is in the absence of judgment with a view to obtaining spiritual guidance and understanding. Amen. So it is the perception and the absence of judgment with a view to obtaining spiritual guidance and understanding. Amen. Because we know that every good and perfect thing comes from above, right? Every gift and good thing comes from above. It comes from God. All this comes from God, right? So when we're sitting here and we have our suspicions, we have our gossips, we have our slander and all those different things, we want to sit here and fit people and situations in this little box of our mind and understanding, you know, and there's no way that the person is going to fit in anything else concerning what it is we believe about the person. That right there is not discernment. That is called suspicion. Amen. So, with that being said, you know, as the Bible tells us to guard our heart, you know, you're going to hear me say that a whole lot because it's very important. You must guard your heart. You see, this will try to come back with familiar experiences, producing certain emotions and thoughts and negativity. Even when you do, you know, go to God for inner healing for this thing, or even when you do go to God in prayer, and even when you fast, like this thing, they don't try to come back. Like, just like when God talked about, you know, when Satan is cast out, right? Or when the devil is cast out, he goes all throughout the wilderness, right? He goes throughout the wilderness. He comes back to that same person and he finds out that the person is clean, is empty, you know, there is no occupant, you know, and he goes back, and I mean by occupant, the Holy Ghost ain't there. You know, the person has not been in his word. The person has not been spending time with Jesus. The person has not been walking by faith and not by sight, you know. And he goes away and he comes back with seven more worse than himself to get back in that thing, to make sure that it's even more difficult to get healed or get delivered. So they will try to come back, you know, with the experiences producing certain emotions and thoughts of negativity. You see, this is one of the main doors and must be guarded well until healed and then sealed in the name of Jesus. Amen. So whatever your trigger that sets you off, right? That releases all these negative emotions and actions or accusations and all these different things, right? Whatever it is the trigger that attracts the voice of the stranger. It is very important that we guard that, safeguard it, safe keep it, right? Let's not, when it happens, let's not just automatically go off the cuff. So let's take it to God, because like I said, it's the ministry of reconciliation, amen, in order for us to get that deliverance, amen. And until Christ Jesus himself comes and brings that inner healing from the wound and from the root, upper root, whatever that is, amen, and the cleanse you from all unrighteousness and all darkness. Amen. You see, a lot of times, you know, these are like curses of rebellion and curses of disobedience that attracts these as well, especially when it comes to God's involvement or angelic involvement, right? Which is to, man, you know what? I'm going to do a part two of this thing concerning curses of rebellion and disobedience and how that just opens you up to a whole world of mess. And we're going to, yeah, definitely got something brewing there. So, yeah, definitely stay with us, you know, for and watch for that next episode concerning curses of rebellion and disobedience. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, I remember one time when I was, you know, not really walking with the Lord and, you know, I was shrouded in darkness. You know, as I say in the intro, I know what it means to walk in darkness with no light in sight. That is absolute truth, you know, and I know what it means to be delivered as well and saved with the true and real salvation. Amen. I remember praying, you know, just being so sick and tired of living and walking in darkness and being influenced by darkness, okay? I remember praying and asking God to remove curses, certain curses. Now, one of the main curses was the curse of disobedience and the curse of rebellion. Like, it was just willful and blatant disobedience and blatant rebellion, you know, knowing God, right, having experience, right, and having tasted that God is good, right, and like a dog returning to its own vomit, right? So with that opens the door to a whole lot of mess that I've been talking about here concerning the curses of disobedience and rebellion. So I'm asking God and I'm, you know, being specific about that. And I said, God, these demons and this darkness, they have no jurisdiction. They have no legal grounds to continuously be here in my life and to continuously be here influencing my blessings, causing delays and all these different things, right? And I remember asking God, I was like, God, remove these curses. Remove these curses. I have repented and I have decided to commit to serving you and to following you all the days of my life. I shall not walk away from you. And when that when I said that, right, the curses left. Like, I mean, I'm not going to go into detail, but there's a whole lot of experience with that, but yeah, the curses definitely lifted, right? And then I was like, okay, well, since the curses have lifted, you know, these spirits shall no longer be able to affect me anymore, because it is the curse that kept allowing them to come back and back and back and back. So I repented and, you know, received some inner healing, hallelujah, and some complete deliverance. Thank you, Jesus, just from that one experience with God. So I like to encourage you, you know, to constantly, as you will understand in the series, not the series, the episode last week before this one, 10 Steps of Sowing into Your Deliverance, you'll see one of the major keys is to, you know, is praying, right? And there's a lot of other keys too, but the thing is, you know, take your own matter before God. See, a lot of times we take our matters before man, and we end up with a lot of these partial deliverances because our faith is in man, not in God. Our faith is in the man's gift and the man's mantle and the man's anointing, but not in God, right? Because the anointing that breaks a yoke comes from God. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from man. All right, the Bible says it's better to trust God rather than man. So you take that matter before God, and God is going to set you up with either a situation, right? Or he's going to set you up with a certain someone, right? Like even in the scriptures, you see a lot of stories where people have an encounter with God, and God tells a servant to go and cross paths with this person, go minister to this person. You know, I guarantee you, you will have that divine appointment that will lead to a divine encounter and a divine healing and deliverance. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that now. I prophesy that over you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, yeah. So thank you for listening here. Let's go ahead and close this thing out in prayer and do, you know, check out the other segments. I've decided to do things a little bit different because I've noticed that my episodes have been very, very, very long. And I don't want to get in the way of, you know, what God wants to do in people's lives concerning these prayers and concerning these decrees, right? So, and these healings, because a lot of them are true prophetic, you know, and specific for people's situations. And I don't want people to be able to miss out on that. And if you need to listen to it again, I want you to be able to just find it and get straight to it. Amen. And God is in agreement with this. Praise God. And we're going to do that. So let's close this thing out in prayer and do look for that segment. It's called Cleansing Stream. It's going to be up on the website, and it's going to be in the podcast platforms of Apple, Google, and Spotify. And pretty soon here, it'll be up on YouTube as well. So yeah, if you feel like you want to, you know, support this ministry in any kind of way, just go ahead. And like I said, there is ways to get involved on my website, 517redeem.com. And do follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, so much for this word. Father God, I pray that it was a blessing to the listener. And I pray, Father God, that you take the seeds planted through this message, Father God, and you plant it real, 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 real deep into their soul, into their inner being, Father God, and you allowed it to sprout roots, Lord God. And as it sprout roots, Father God, the roots of bitterness, rebellion, and all these different things of darkness, Father God, begins to uproot in the name of Jesus, Father God. And this seed, hallelujah, after it sprouts roots, Father God, it grows into a mighty tree of righteousness, bearing a lot of good fruit in the name of Jesus, Father God, that we shall be a tree planted by the streams of water, yielding its fruit in and out of seasons, Father God. Bless us, Father God, and keep us, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I seal this in the name and the power and authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Don't forget, go ahead and take care of that other episode. Amen.